Praise it. One day when sin was black as love songs when they're sung from the heart. Amen.
Amen. Right.
So wonderful. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to St. Mark chapter 16. It's good to have each one of you in the house of the Lord today. Amen.
Amen.
St. Mark chapter 16, we begin reading at verse 9. I want to title this today, Proof of His Resurrection. Proof of His Resurrection. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, as we come to this portion of the service, we just trust you, Lord, and look to you as the great Holy Spirit, the anointing that will just open this word to our hearts. As your prophet said so many times, that just the physical strength of a man could open the Bible, and even maybe if he could read the words. But Lord, it requires you to open these words to the hearts of your people. We love you, Lord. We're just asking that you'd have your way in this service today, that you'd speak to every heart, Lord, and as I said earlier, just to do that which only you can do. We love you, Lord. We just commit this time in your hands. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Amen. Wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. Weather outside is not so nice, but I told Brother Tim maybe it'll put a little bit of damper on all the Easter egg hunting. So, praise the Lord. Amen. So, proof of his resurrection. And today, I guess if I had a subtitle, we'd just bringing it from the sermon, it is the rising of the sun. Amen. And so we just appreciate what God has done and what he's doing in our midst today. He is working. He is alive. And we believe that.
Amen.
He's doing something.
Amen.
He's in this earth. And we are thankful that he has blessed our lives the way he has. So I want to talk about his resurrection. And so, you know, his birth, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, all of those were very significant, very, I won't say odd, but you know, everything about his life was something just beyond what man could normally be or whatever. And so his birth, we talk about his birth, but you know, he was the only one. There's been all kinds of people that's been born throughout the ages. Just imagine, maybe it may be in the trillions by now. I don't know, but if you look at all the generations and so forth, there's been lots of babies born, but there's only been one that was born of a virgin birth.
Amen.
So his birth was absolutely just phenomenal, outside of the realm of anything that man could do. Just a virgin birth. I know they have scientific procedures they can do today, but his birth was a virgin birth, done by a virgin birth. And so We know it was just outside of the realm of human capability. And his life as he lived was phenomenal too. In his life, he was able to live in a way that nobody else could. He had such a wisdom, and even at age 12, when he was speaking to the people, Brother Ram said the Pharisees, those religious scholars, that they could take a scroll and you could push a pen through that scroll, and before you open it up, they could tell you every letter, every word that pen went through.
That's right.
They were so studied in the scriptures that their whole life was given to that. And yet at age 12, our Lord Jesus Christ was able to speak to those men, and they were astounded at his wisdom at age 12. And listen, you know, we come into this world, we have to be taught. We have to learn.
Right.
We have to get that from somewhere. Well, there wasn't somebody else who could give that to him, no other person. He wasn't getting that from Joseph, and he wasn't getting that from Mary.
Right.
So where did he get it from? Amen. He got it from a supernatural presence of Almighty God that was in him. And so that's how he got it. And so he had such a life that was beyond anybody else that he could speak. The scripture said that they even looked to him and said, look, this guy speaks with authority. He don't speak like the Pharisees and Sadducees. He knows what he's talking about. And it makes a difference when a person knows what they're talking about. I can't stand somebody in the workplace is like, let me tell you how to do this, and you can see real quick they don't know what they're doing. Because they can mess more up in 5 minutes than you can fix in a week. And so, but he knew what he was talking about. He knew what he was doing, and they recognized it. His life was different than everybody else's, and he had such an authority that even he could speak and the winds and the waves would obey, and the devils would obey. And so his life was phenomenal too, not just his birth, but his life. And then in his death, we know that how the scriptures, what it says, the death of the cross, crucifixion, or whatever. And I've expressed that in the past, that was a form of death that the Romans used because it was so terrible, excruciating pain and suffocation. And so... because, you know, whenever they had him up through the way they did, with the nails in his feet, if you pushed up on that, it hurt, right? The nails in his feet, it hurt. So he had to push up to take a breath. And then when that hurt so bad, he'd let himself down, then it would pull, the way it would pull, if the diaphragm, you couldn't breathe. Right. And so you had to do this constant up and down for hours until you couldn't, until a person died. And it was... And so they did that, and they lifted him up so that everybody could see that if you challenge the Roman system, this is what you've got coming. And this was the thing, it wasn't just some little simple death, but this was the death that God had that had been laid out there so that when the Lord came on the scene, that was the death he was going to be looking at. Not just some, killed with a sword or have his head cut off or something like that. But it was so arranged that when he come and he would have experienced death for all of us, it wouldn't be something simple. It would be something very tragic and would be like that. And so even his death was phenomenal. And such that when he died, there was an earthquake. Such that when he was hanging there on Calvary, that there was darkness for 3 hours. See, even his death was a tremendous thing. The burial that he had there was in with the tomb of a rich man. But his burial, they were so concerned that they sent soldiers down there to guard, to make sure that nobody would come and get him out of the grave. And so, but his resurrection was phenomenal because no other man resurrected like that. As Brother Ram said, that there's been many men throughout ages that had come and have a great cause, a great purpose that they wanted to stand and stand for and something they wanted to cause and died for that cause. Many men died for great causes. We have forefathers that stood and fought for principles and died because of it. But with this one, he stood for the greatest principles of all. And when he died, just like all the rest of them, those other men, they died, but they couldn't raise again.
That's right.
But he's the only one that was on this earth that could say, I have power to lay down my life and I have power to lift it up again.
Right.
And not only, as Brother Brandon said, not only did he claim it, but he was able to prove it. He brought it to pass.
Yes.
And so when you bring it to pass, that settles it.
Amen.
And so his whole entire, everything about him, his birth, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, everything was phenomenal. And so we realize he was one to himself. Nobody else in those ranks. And so we celebrate that today especially. We look back upon those things that he did, and we're here. We're having a memorial today of being Easter and remembering that today was so many years ago was a time of the resurrection for him. And so we celebrate that.
Amen.
And so because he's the only man that was able to defeat death, and the only man was able to do these things, then what can be more important than giving honor to that? Giving honor to him and to his principles and the fact that he rose again. What would be more important that we would live our lives towards something else that's greater than that? Nothing would be. Because no other man rose from the dead. No other man, and like the scripture said, because of one man, and I covered this here recently, but because one man sinned, then sin came upon everybody else. And God is a just God, and if God says, you know what, if the sin of one can come upon the rest of everyone else because they're in him, then God is just to turn around and say that, okay, then if one man through righteousness can live, then it can all be imputed to everybody, all those that are in him.
Amen.
And that's what happened. Because of Adam's fall, we all fell with him. But because the Lord Jesus Christ, he overcame death, then now that attribute and those benefits now can come upon everyone who's in Christ.
Amen.
Everybody that's an offspring spiritually of him, like those who died because of Adam.
Amen.
Failure, then, and so, you know, we can do a lot of things. You know, you can go and you can stand for all kinds of things, and maybe good things that need to be stood for. You can try to you know, save the whales, or you could try to reform the government. You could try to lift up a nation that's in poverty. You could be all kinds of things. You can become members of some great society. You can be, maybe you can become, you know, you could be have a society of carpenters, or a society of bass fishermen or hunters or whatever it might be. You could be whatever. But see, none of those things even touch what we're talking about here. Because you can be all kinds of things and you can help all kinds of people, but until you can lay your hands on death and defeat it, then what good does it do? So we can spend all our time doing all kinds of other things, but if we don't turn and give honor to the very one and the very thing that did conquer death, that's the greatest conquering there is. You can take an army and go, you know, 5 or 10 men and go defeat an army of 1,000. And that would be a great thing, I suppose. But it doesn't touch this, because they all still die.
Amen.
So you see, this is a victory that is beyond anything else. And so what could be more important? There could be nothing more important than giving honor to the very one who defeated death and is willing to share that victory with us.
Amen.
So without this, we're basically with nothing. And so we honor today as a memorial. We think about these things. And so, but did God do all these things in the Lord Jesus Christ just so it could be a memorial? Just so it could be something we think about once a year? Or even maybe you thought about it every day for a year? Is it just so we can look back and say, oh, look what he did. How wonderful. Now, what does that mean to us? Because if he's just a historical person that lived and died and went through all the things, and even if he resurrected, if that's just where it lays, then what good does that do us if there's not some benefit from that to us?
Right.
I've always said to many times, why would somebody want to serve a God that has no power to help you?
Right?
The gospel I read tells me that he's still a healer. Right? He's a healer. He's a savior. And so I'm not just going to want to believe some historical God that can't help me today. There are people out there believe that God created the universe and then backed off and can do nothing to change what happens. So there's people actually believe that. There's a name for it. I don't know what it is because I'm not that interested in it. But there are people who believe things like that, all kinds of different things. And it's just all tommyrot. Amen. And so, God, did he just have this happen so we could look at it as a memorial? Or is there something there that is more than just a tradition to us? Something there that actually affects our life today? Because if it doesn't, then we're just, what good does it do?
Right?
We celebrate a day in the year where all of our military people who have fought and died for our freedoms. And we honor that because we're free.
Amen.
Right? We honor that because what they did affects us now. And so we rejoice in that and we give honor to that. And that's a very fast thing that's going away. People don't remember what the price is that has been paid. But it's the same way with this. We give honor to that, but why? Because of the impact of what it does for us today. And so he is the I Am. And so he did this not just so it could be a memorial, but it could have impact and have an effect on us even in this 2022.
Right.
So when you go to Genesis and you read in the book of Genesis, the concept, I know you've heard these things before probably, but you know, God said, let there be light. And if you look at it and with a little bit of depth of study, when God created those things there in Genesis, you realize that really it wasn't like he was creating those things out of nothing, but that they were already there. And when he said, let there be, they came forth. And so just to simplify it from this, that when he said, let there be light, and then all these things begin to spring up, trees and grass and all these things, just the concept there is that it takes the light. And when he said, let there be light, when that light came forth, then that light has the power to reach down there and bring forth the seeds that were already there.
Amen.
That's the whole understanding there, is that the seeds were already there. But they can do nothing in themselves until the sunlight strikes the seed. You know, we're going off of it is the rising of the sun. That's a sermon Brother Branham preached in our day. And we are experiencing now it is the rising of the sun. And so in Genesis, then when that sun came up, when he said, let there be light, as he created light, then that light was able to draw those things that were laying there, those seeds that he put there, right? But what I want you to recognize there is that the seeds were already there and the potential was already in those seeds. And then it was the light coming forth that was able to draw out of those seeds. It was able to cause those seeds to manifest and be what they are.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And so that was a great shining, a great coming of light, a great rising of the sun, as it were, back in those days. And then Brother Ram comes on and he talks about when Jesus rose from the dead. And the same thing, that life as he comes forth, he was the rising of, not the physical sun, but the rising of the Son of God. And so that life that was there, that was raised up, and your little sun comes up and it's lifted up and it shines upon us. And so his gospel will rise and shine upon us. And the whole concept there is that when he came forth out of the grave, he gave us, he's shining upon us, didn't change what we are, but drew forth from us what we are. So he's already there. So it speaks very heavy of predestination. That we were already there, had the potential of being a Christian in our lives, and when he comes forth, his whole experience there was to draw from us and quicken, we'll use that word because Brother Branham did, to quicken us. And so the sun did not make something seed that wasn't seed.
Right.
The sun just simply drew forth out of that seed what it was.
Yes.
And so we know that's the way it works.
Amen.
And because remember, this end time message is to straighten all the details out that was all confused. And it speaks like Brother Branham said, the predestinated is the only ones that's considered in redemption. Because redeem means to bring back. So how can you bring something back that wasn't there? But if it was already there, then it was predestinated to be there. And so this rising of the sun would come forth and just simply enable us to be sons of God. Just like it said, to them gave he power to become sons of God. It wasn't to change them from non-sons to sons, but to take them who are sons and give them the power to manifest as sons. Because as long as those seeds are laying there and the sun's not shining on it, they're not going to do anything. They're just going to lay there and hold that attribute in them, but it takes the rising of the sun to bring those things out. So you see, it takes the rising to have an effect, the rising of the sun to have an effect on us. There's no other way to quicken seed.
That's right.
Right? There's no other way for it to happen. You say, well, you know, but you can't be what you are in Christ until you come in contact with that sun. Until you come in contact with the Holy Spirit in your life, and then that interaction upon you will cause you to begin to express that which he put in you in the first place. But it'll never happen if you don't come in contact. That's why you need to be in church. That's why you need to have the Word of God coming across your ears every day. Because if you don't have that, there will be no quickening.
Right?
It makes no difference. You can be a predestinated son of God. I was one for many, many years and didn't know it.
Right.
But when I came in contact with the message, something happened inside me.
Amen.
And that's the way it is with you. Amen. It takes the Word to quicken you. Without that Word, you won't be quickened.
Amen.
Amen? And so it's just a real simple concept there that there's no other way for it to be quickened. And we have to come in contact with this rising of the sun. And it's been that way throughout all ages that Christians have to come in contact with the Holy Spirit in their life through all seven church ages. But there's another level of it that's going on right now. Beyond just being Christians, but now we're talking about the full manifested Word and calling forth the bride. That has to happen in this end time too. We're going to be talking about that just a little bit here. And so you have to come in contact with that Word, that rising of the sun, in order for you to be what is potentially laying there for you to begin with. So, like I said a while ago, you can do many things. You can become whatever. You can become president of the United States if you wanted to. You can do anything you want. Become part of any kind of society. It doesn't make a bit of difference. But if whatever you do, if you're not coming in contact with that resurrection power, you're not coming up,
right?
But you can be all that as long as you can be different thing, as long as the first thing you are is that you're quickened by the Word.
Amen.
And of course, if you're quickened by the Word, I can't imagine somebody being quickened by the Word at this hour that would make them want to be president of the United States. But you understand, it will quicken you, and then. Put all your affections and all your desires will be funneled into that. So he'll let you be whatever he wants you to be in life as long as you're quickened to his Word. So you can do all kinds of things, but until you come in contact with that Word, then you just kind of lay there. And so Brother Ram tells us in the God of this evil age, he says, and this is emphasizing what I was just saying there about coming in contact. Brother Graham says, as a seed starts in the ground, it comes up through carriers, the life of it, but it ends up in the same seed that it was when it went into the ground. Right? Take a seed and you plant it, and it comes all the way up, and at the end, at harvest time, you've got the same seed that you had that went in the first place.
Amen.
If you plant wheat, you get wheat. If you plant corn, you get corn.
Amen.
If you plant tares, you don't get wheat. Right. You get tares.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
So it's a real simple concept. The gospel that they teach out there says, oh, we're all lost and undone, which we are, but you're not sons and daughters of God, but if you'll repent, then you'll become a son and daughter of God. And that's not what the Bible teaches.
Right.
And so I preached this in a Baptist church one time where Jesus said, you know, if the seed falls in the ground, it dies by it alone, but if it dies, then it comes forth. And just a simple concept, that seed that you plant, at the end, what you get is a multitude of what you planted. And that if Christ went down, then up through, comes through the ages, at the end time, you're going to have more seed just like him. And as I've said here, that if you could take the wheat seed Christ and you could plant him and he could grow forth and produce more like him, then you could take each one of those that he produced that were more like him, and each one of those could be planted and bring forth even more. Right? And there were people that went away and said, I had no idea what that guy was talking about. That simple concept, I had no idea. I just told you everything I said there, but you understand. So here's this concept. As a seed starts in the ground, it comes up through carries and life with it, but it ends up the same seed as it was before it went into the ground. Now, Brother Bram says this in several ways here. And the same way the seed of deceit fell in the ground in Eden, it's the same way it ends up in the last days. So what was planted, what happened there in Eden, comes again today. Right? Just as the gospel was when it fell to a denomination at Nicaea, Rome, it ends up in a super organization today. Right? Just like that seed happened, then it happens today. And just as the seed of the church fell back there with the signs and wonders and the living Christ among them, that's what it was at first, it ends up in the last days, right? Same thing got to happen in these days as what happened back there. It ends up in the last days, and how does it end up in the last days? Same signs and wonders and all the things that happened there. It's got to come again. How does it do it? Comes up in the last days under the ministry of Malachi 4. And restores back again the original faith that was once given. So you see that if you plant it, you know it's got to come. Right? And so he gave us several examples of seeds that were planted, and now they've got to come forth now, and you can see that they are. But we have to also remember that the same gospel that started there in that early church with power and signs and wonders, and Christ, who is resurrected, working with them with signs and wonders because he's alive in his people, that the same thing has to come present today, and it's going to happen in the end times, it has happened in the end times, under the ministry of Malachi 4, because it's that ministry that restores our hearts right back to that original faith that our forefathers had.
Right.
Amen? Mm-hmm. We find now this evil age is to prove to Satan that she's not like Eve, that she's not that type of woman, and she will be tried by his word. The bride, as Adam's bride was tried by the word, and Adam's bride believed every bit of the word, all but confused on one promise, and that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Today, see? But failed on one promise under the temptation of the enemy, face to face, and now the people that's called for his name, of course, is his bride. She is to come in contact again by the same thing, not just by denominational truth or something, but by every word.
Amen.
So what I want to emphasize there is that he's saying it's the God of this evil age. And if you go listen to it, and he says the reason why is because she's going to be tested. She's going, just like Eve there in the Garden of Eden, she was face to face with Lucifer through that serpent, right. face to face with temptation, she had the word, and she faced that enemy, and she fell to that enemy by not staying with the word. And Brother Red said, just like that happened in the garden, here we are at the end time, that this bride is going to go through the same thing. That first of all, she has to come in contact with the word. Not just denominational mindset, but she's going to come by in contact with the word. And with that, she's going to face off with the seed that's with us now that had been planted back there. Right. The same thing that happened back there in that garden is now coming before you and I. Right. We're going to be tested today. That's the same seed there is here now, and it's coming at us now. And guess what? We have the word now, and we're going to be tested just like she is. And this is to show Satan that we, the end time bride, is not like Eve. We're not going to fall to his nonsense, but we're going to stay with the word. It's just a simple concept of everything that happened there. Here it comes up in a full form over here at the end time. And so in order for her to be able to battle with this seed of Satan that's come forth in this day, in all religious organizations and all that, in order for her to do that, she has to be in contact with the word. Man. So something had to come in our day to anoint us, to prepare us, to put us in this position that we can be tested and tried. Because God is not going to put us in a position to be tested and tried and not give us what it takes to overcome.
Right.
See? So you realize that he's doing something here at the end time that's fully equipping the bride to be what she needs to be to withstand this end time temptation and this end time trial. Amen. And so, Brother Graham tells us there that she has to come in contact with the word. We have to come in contact with something to quicken us.
Right.
Or we can't be. So, it's his resurrection power that we come in contact with. And Jesus said, because I live, ye live also. I've read this a few times over the last few weeks. And because I live, ye live also.
Amen.
Because with one man who's come forth in righteousness, now we can all live in him.
Yeah, that's right.
Just like the fall came to Adam, we can live through Christ, the last Adam. So we read in the scriptures there, we are commissioned to go into all the world and show the world his resurrection. And you say, well, how can I prove or show the world his resurrection? I can't do that of myself. But he doesn't ask you to do it in himself. He asks you to let him do it in you. Because he wants to live through you and show those things, and he promised that he would live through us. And as we read in the scriptures, he went with the early church and he confirmed, as they preached with signs and wonders, he confirmed the word in their midst while they did. So he's not asking us to do anything ourselves except just go and preach his gospel, believe it, and let him work with signs and wonders. I've mentioned this several times in the past, but I'm going to read this real quick. In when the scriptures talk about all things put underneath him, and we realize that when Jesus rose from the dead, he died. He said, it's finished. And when he rose from the dead, he brought some of the saints out in the Old Testament, came with him.
Right.
Remember that? And so when he rose up and he ascended on high, we realize that everything is under his feet.
Right.
All power and authority. He said, all power and authority is given to me in heaven and earth. So we know everything. He's already conquered everything. Right? No question about it. He's already conquered everything. But I want to show you a couple of scriptures here that I've mentioned in the past. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 25 and 26. So he's reigning in power. And it says, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Now he's already put all enemies under his feet. But yet the scriptures are speaking of it having to happen again. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Did he destroy death? Right? But yet we still deal with it.
Right. Amen.
So he conquered all those things, but now he swings back in the form of the Holy Spirit. It's in his church, and now he's going to conquer the whole thing again in his church. Okay? So now let's go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5 through 9. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come wherever we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. See, we realize it already has. For in that he put all things subject under him, he left nothing that is not under him. Amen?
Amen.
Everything's under the authority of Jesus Christ. Let me back up. I have one more sentence. And so he left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him. Huh? Everything has been put under him, but yet Paul says, but yet we don't see all things put under him yet. And the next verse. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, could taste death for every man. And so you see, he comes back into his church now, and he's going to act out through his church, and through us, there will come a time where death shall be swallowed in victory.
Amen. Amen.
Through us.
Yes.
He's done it once.
Yes.
So he says, now just let me come in you, and I'll live in you, and I'll live out my resurrection, and I'll live out my ability to overcome death. I'll live out all those things in you, and at some point, it's going to happen again where Scriptures is going to say that everything and even death is put underneath.
Amen.
Right? Because he's doing it in his church.
Amen.
Amen. So I said earlier, so what good does it do for all that back there unless it has some effect here?
Right.
And it does have effect here. The power of his resurrection is alive in his people and has been through ages, but especially here at the end time because we're approaching body change.
Right.
Right? He's going to perform in us that body change. We can't do it, but he's going to do it. No question about it. He's going to do it.
Amen.
And so the scripture tells us, we read the other day, that if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. Mortal.
Yes.
Right?
Right?
We're already quickened in our inside, but if the spirit that was in Christ Jesus, that raised him from the dead, if it dwells in you, then it will quicken us, not just on our daily walk, but there will come a time where it will quicken us.
Yes.
As I mentioned last week, quickening power like it was on the bones of Elisha.
Yeah.
The showing you that it's not just a spiritual thing. It's talking about that spiritual victory, it bleeds over into the flesh.
Right.
The fact that we have spiritual victory inside bleeds over and gives us healing in our bodies.
Amen.
We can have healing in our bodies. And so it'll come to some place where, to the point in time where rapture morning, where the spirit that if the spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in us, then come rapture morning, it quickens our mortal flesh. And if we go by way of the grave, it quickens us up out of the grave. And so if that spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. So Brother Ram said, I was listening to it yesterday, and he said, that spirit could not leave him in the grave. You know, the scripture had already said, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, nor suffer thy Holy One to see corruption.
Amen.
But you have to realize that Jesus was walking this earth just like we do, so he was anointed of a spirit.
Right.
And that spirit could not leave him there.
That's right.
And the scripture said, if that spirit is on us, if it dwells in us, it can't leave us there either. It can't leave us in the grave. It cannot leave us in this flesh when it comes rapture time if that spirit's laying there living in us. And so that's why it's so important that we come in contact with his Holy Spirit, which gives quickening power. And so it won't leave us here, won't leave us undone. It'll make sure to do the same thing in us because he's promised that he would. We talked the other day, and I want to talk about it again just a little bit, that Jesus was the wave sheaf. Do you remember in the Old Testament, whenever they would go out and they'd take the first part of the field of wheat that was ripe, and they'd take a sheaf of it, you know, it's just a bundle of it. They'd take it in, the priest, they'd wave it before the Lord. And the whole idea there is that the process that brought that wheat to maturity. You remember what we're talking about? What went into the ground has to come out in seed form in the head. And so this wheat would come to a whole field of it, and it'd come up, and then now you've got a little bit of it that's ready, and they take that and they wave it before the Lord. So what they're doing is they're saying, Lord, this whole process of that original seed that was planted, that came up and grew through the ages, grew up through time, has now come to a full fruit of a bunch of seed that was just like the original. Thank you for that process. That what we planted is now in full form now. Thank you, Lord, for that. And that the whole thing is thanking Him, knowing that the rest of the field would come to maturity too. Because the same process that did that will do the rest. Right? And so whenever they would wave that before the Lord, it was lifting it up, and it was a testimony that the process works. Because now we've got something that's a wave sheaf showing that it's wheat. Showing that the life that was there to begin with is now here at the end time. And thank you, because it's here present again. Right? And so that's something that you can look to, and you can thank the Lord and say, praise God, that what you've promised really happens, really works. That you can sow your seed into the earth in the beginning, and it'll come out at the end, and you see that now you've got this wave sheet that proved that this works. Mm-hmm. Now the whole concept there is that Jesus being that wave sheet, that when He come up out of the grave alive and was lifted up and went up into heaven and so forth, that we can look at that and say, praise God. Now there's someone who's defeated death. And whatever was working in Him that made it to where He could defeat death, He is now our wave sheaf, and we can say, praise God, whatever took place in Him is going to take place in me.
That's right. Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Whatever happened in Him is going to happen to me. And we can look to that and we can rejoice and say, praise God.
Yes. Amen.
Praise God.
Yes.
There it is. It's already been lifted up, and I can have confidence that whatever's working in me is bringing me to that, and I don't have to worry about it because He's done proof to me that it works. He's done proof that it works. So that's the whole concept of the wave sheaf. And so He was waved over the people, and we can rejoice in that. So, but here, and I've read this quote several times here recently, but I'm going to read it again today. And it is the rising of the sun. And it has to do with this wave sheet. That what we have to come in contact with, and what has to happen in this end time, and it is happening. We've already seen it.
Amen.
And it's working in us. As Christ was the first one to raise from all the prophets and so forth, although typed in many places, He was the first fruits of those that slept. Right? So He was the first one to come out in the resurrection of all those that had lived in the old ages. He was the first one to come out. And He said, so as Christ was that first one and was the first one to come up, He said, in the bride coming of Christ, because Christ is coming in this end time in bride form.
Right.
In the bride coming of Christ, coming out of the church, not the bride, you know, bride coming out of church, right? Come out of her, my people.
Amen.
Coming out of the church, here's what He said, there'll have to be a sheaf waved again in the last days. There'll have to be. We can't just, not just Jesus 2,000 years ago, that's fine. He came, paid price for our redemption, but He's got to come and claim us today.
Amen.
And so Brother Ram said, there'll have to be a sheaf waved again in the last days.
Yeah.
Oh my, a waving of the sheaf, what was it? The first one to come to mature, the first one that proved that it was wheat and proved that it was a sheep. Hallelujah. And I'm sure you see what I'm talking about. It was waved over the people, and the first time there will come forth for the bright age, for a resurrection out of dark denominationalism, will be a message that the full maturity of the word has turned back again in the full power and being waved over the people by the same signs and wonders that he did back there. Because I live, ye live also, speaking to his wife. Because I live, ye live also. What a resurrection that was, and what a resurrection this is, to be quickened from the dead, to be made alive in Christ Jesus by God's quickening power. So he's showing us here that because of denominationalism, the church was dead, like John. Church was dead in dark denominationalism, but there's going to be a bright age. And so coming forth to cause this bright age, to bring this thing into being, there will be a message rise up that will be a resurrection out of dark denominationalism into a living truth of the day, and that'll kick off the bright age.
Right.
Follow me? That'll kick off the bright age and cause this thing to come to pass that the scripture said. And so there'll have to be a wave sheet, and this was the wave sheet that kicked the thing off. There's something that come out of dark denominationalism and was waved before the people, and we can all look back and say, praise God, there's the thing I'm looking for. There's the thing that has proven that what God said he would do. He said at the end time he'd bring forth a people. He said at the end time that there would be somebody on the earth that would be just like that original seed that went in the ground. And the same signs that happened and wonders that happened back during that early church is now going to be done here. And we read a while ago that it comes forth through Malachi 4. But it's going to come forth, and it's going to be the thing that starts this bright age and brings this thing into being. And that is a wave sheet for us.
Amen.
And so we can, whatever it is, we can look at that and say, that's the thing that I rally around. That's the thing that tells me that what's working in me, because I believe it, that what's working in me is going to do the same thing in me that did in that this wave sheet. So what is it we're looking at? What has been lifted among up above us today that we could look at that and we could say, praise God, I know my body's going to change. Because I see that and I agree with that, and that same anointing is upon me. The same thing that worked in that is working in me. What is that? Is it Billy Graham? Can you look at Billy Graham and say, oh man, that ministry is going to rapture me. Because what happened in him is going to happen in me. Can you say that? Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, Benny Hinn, T.D.J., any of them you can think of. Can you look at any of those and say, praise God, I know I'm rapture bound because I see that and that's what's working in me. I think not. Amen. But there has been one. I don't want to be caught up and quickened into a bunch of financial blab it, grab it, and $1 million and many, many jet airplanes and all this kind of stuff and all these television things. I want something that went forward like Jesus went forward. In strength and yet humility. Right? And being rejected by the religious world, because the scripture said he would be. So you understand what I'm getting at. So, there was a ministry that has done that showed itself in our day. And we know that was lived through the life of William Branham. It wasn't Brother Branham. It was Christ in him. He wasn't anything different than anybody else, except God chose to gift him with that ministry. And that ministry was a worldwide ministry, and it was lifted up for the people to see that the same signs, the same wonders, the same life that was there in Jesus Christ and in the early church has been brought before us through Malachi 4 and has been lifted up before us today for us to see. That is quickening power. Brother Rem says quickening power did those things. Quickening power is what caused that ministry to do what it is. where God would come, that rising of the sun would come up and strike the predestinated seed of this day and draw from it. It just so happened one of those in that field of wheat was Brother Brandon. And he had a gift and he had all that, and that quickening power drew him up and caused him to live and express the life that you and I seen him live. And that same light, that same message that brought out of dark denominationalism has brought us out of dark denominationalism. And that same life that quickened him and caused him to realize he wasn't the son of Charles and Ella Branham, that same life will anoint us to cause us to realize that I'm more than just the son of my mom and dad, but I have a greater calling. And that same quickening power will do that to the rest of you. Right? To quicken you to what you are predestinated by God to be. Each one of you have gifts in your life to be a blessing to the body of Christ. You won't know it until that quickening comes. So you have to get in the presence of the quickening power. The very same gospel message that brought Brother Branham to the place that he came to be expressed, all the things that he did at Christ in our day through him, that same thing has to happen to each one of us. You find who you are in the presence of Almighty God. Amen. If you want to see what it is, get in the presence of a great light, and it'll show you what's going on with you. And so we have a ministry of what we can look to. And we're not looking to the man and saying, oh, look at this great man. We're looking at the great process of God that he has come back to this age and proved to us that he's bringing to pass his word, and it was alive in that man, and I can stand back and say, because I believe the same thing that man preached, I can say, praise God, I know, and that, you understand. Because remember, past the curtain of time, when Brother Brandon said, I preach the same thing Paul did. And all those people in that realm said, we're resting on that. Yes. Amen? So, this whole ministry at the end time proved that Christ Jesus was alive in his church. And as he said, there'll be a message. Now here's what will happen. There'll be a message, and this message will prove something. That the full maturity of the word has turned back again in its full power. Right? He promised he'd come back in his full power. And this message has proved that the Holy Ghost has come back in full form into his church. Amen. Full maturity of the word turned back again in full power, being waved over the people by the same signs and wonders that he did back there. Because I live, ye live. Because we can look at that and say, he lived, then I'm going to live. Right? That gospel that brought him up, and you have to realize, like I said, a man can't do those things. But it had to be God doing it in him. God in Christ in bride form living out this end time message. And because we can look at that and see that and believe it, then we can say, there's my wave sheet. I don't have to worry about whether or not I'm going to come forth because I know it's working. I know this gospel that you and I believe worked for him. Amen. How did it work for him? Besides just seeing visions, besides just doing this, praying for the sick, raising the dead, besides all that kind of stuff, what did it do? You remember the story when Brother Brandon was up there in Colorado, in the mountain, in a storm. Blizzard coming in. They decided they'd stay. He told all the brother, now, once it starts spitting snow, you run back to camp as fast as you can, because in 15 minutes you won't be able to see anything. Remember that? And you remember he's up there and it started in, and Brother Ben was eating his sandwich and he starts heading back to camp, and the boy said, won't you go back up where you come from? He's heading back to camp because the blizzard's kicking in, and the boy says, go back up there where you come from. Brother Ben said, well, that's the same one that's been talking to me all this time. Right? Same ministry that's brought me this far is now doing this part. Right? Same one that's fixing to do what we're talking about here is the same one that's been doing us all along. So he's standing there, and that's when the Lord spoke to him and said, speak to the storm. Speak to the storm and it will obey you. Brother Ram said, you know, I forget the exact words, but, you know, storm, go back where you come from. Sunshine, normal for 3 days or whatever it was.
Amen.
And no sooner than he said that, the wind changed, and here it went, you know, and it blew all back, and then everything was.
Yes.
And so Brother Branham, you know, here's this snow that's been piled on the ground, and then the Lord said, why don't you just walk with me for a while? So he's up there in a paradise, you know, a place untouched by man, out there in God country, and he's out there, and he's just spoke to the storm, and it's went. Did Jesus speak to a storm? So did Brother Brandon.
Right.
And God says, why don't you walk with me for a while? Right? Now think about this. At the end of the age, when we are raptured, are we going to be walking with the Lord in the millennium? Fellowshipping with the Lord in the millennium? Are we going to be old and decrepit, or are we going to be young? Are the animals going to be afraid of us, or are they going to sit down in the line and eat straw like an ox? In the millennium. See what I'm saying? So Brother Ram is up there and he speaks to the storm and obeys him. And now come and walk with me. And he walks down through there, and now here comes all these deer up to him that would normally be running, right? So they're deer hunting.
Right.
I can tell you from my own experiences, the first pickup truck that pulls into the woods, the deer change their habits like that. Soon as they start, people start coming into deer woods. They remember. I remember last year when all these trucks come in, what happened the next day. I'm out of here. And here he is, these deer, and they're like that, and they're all around him. They're not afraid of him. He can talk to them. And Brother Rams, he's crying. And what was snow on the ground, now tears are falling, and they're dropping on dry leaves, pat, 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 pat. And he looks down, and he said, I'm young again. He looks at his hands. And it's young again. Right? How many remembers that? What did God express through Brother Branham there on that mountain? Body changed in millennium.
Right.
And that was our wave sheaf.
Amen.
That God, through a message, not took a virgin born expression of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, but that God took someone who's born in sin, shaping iniquity. And this gospel that we believe has such a cleansing effect that it would cleanse that man's life and move him forward in the economy of God to such a place that God could say to him, now you speak to the storm. Walk with me. And he could enter into an experience of millennium that you and I could see and know that process that did that will work for you and I.
Amen?
The same gospel message that did that for Brother Branham will do it for us. And people say, well, I wasn't nobody up there. Listen, the testimonies were there all over the place about the storm.
Right?
Right? You've heard the testimony of Brother Biscoe about the brown bear. You know, Brother Branham said, this is my fault. This is my fault that this weather has been this way. Just everything, just raining, just poor, just everything's sopping wet. Animals mad, horses mad and irritated because they're wet and all that, and it's cold and everything. And Brother Brim said, this is my fault that our trip has been ruined because I didn't obey God. It's transparency, right? This is my fault. And Brother Biscoe said, everything's sopping wet. And they were already picking up camp because they were done. They were cleaning up, heading out. And Brother Branham comes up and said, this is my fault. He said, but we will ride out of here dry. And Brother Biscoe said, no sooner than Brother Branham said that, he said, this nice warm breeze, here it comes. Like, wow, that's nice. Brother Branham had just spoken, and here it comes. And it began, and before they got everything packed up from camp, everything was dry, and they rode out dry. This is the kind of thing that God lifted up for us to see.
Right.
And if you can have confidence that what did that for him will do that for us.
Yeah.
That He's awake. And this is what Brother Ray was talking about at the end time, to get us out of the dark denominational nonsense of the world. There'll come a message under Malachi 4. There'll come a message that God will raise it up among the people. You'll see in it the same signs and wonders, and that will be an end time wave sheaf again for the bride to look to. Amen? There's your resurrection power. So much of the time, say, well, show me the resurrection. Go out here and raise the dead, or go out here and heal somebody, whatever, and God doesn't clown. But brother, sister, there's one thing that works in you and I that you can't manufacture, and neither can the world, and that is to believe this message.
Amen.
Amen.
Only God can make that happen.
Right.
And when you can look inside and you can say, this is my life. Yeah, I do this. I have a job. I do that. But the one thing that's more important than anything else is the fact that God raised up something in my day, and I believe it.
Amen.
And I believe it'll do in me and in you what it did for him.
Yep.
Amen. That's the way you see in our day.
Right.
And so you are proof of resurrection. The fact that you believe stuff beyond denominational nonsense, but the fact you believe what God has done in our day is quickening power. It is something that has rose up, that is the rising of the sun, and it has rose up, and now it's drawing out of you the predestinated will of God that was laying there all along.
Amen.
But the only way it works is for you to get in the presence of this message.
Yes.
And now it's drawing that out there. And remember, when it is the rising of the sun, it means the start of a new day. So we are in process of leaving time, moving on into eternity, because we just finished 7th. And the next one is 8, and 8 is 1 again, right? And 8 is eternity, if you look at the symbol of eternity, infinite, right? God don't lie. So we have in us quickening power. We have in us. You don't have to worry about it. You believe it. Leave it up to him. All you got to do is just walk with it in fellowship with that quickening power that's in you, that's being drawn forth from this great rising of the sun, this great message that God has sent in our day. Amen. May the Lord bless you as you are proof of his resurrection.
Amen.
You may not be able to go out there and prove anything to anybody else, but you know in you
right. Is
something that has changed you from this world and changed you more like that every day, pulling you, drawing you into that word. That's the thing we can rejoice in.
Amen.
And so today, as we celebrate Easter, don't just look back 2,000 years ago and say, yeah, look what he did back then, but look what he's doing right now.
Amen.
In you and me. Amen. That's the glorious thing.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you as the musicians go. I was worried that this sermon wasn't going to last very long this morning, but time to leave. Amen. Praise God. Let's just pray. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message this morning that you have sent our way, Lord, of your truth, of what you've done in this hour. We thank you, Lord, because you have lifted up a wave sheet in our day that we could look to and we could rejoice and know that the same life works in us. Lord, it's something you've done. It's not something that a man has done. And people can say whatever they want, Lord, but we know it's you. And we love you, Lord, and we recognize it to be you. We give praise and honor to you, and thank you for these things. We thank you, Lord, for confirming your word and working in our lives and confirming, Lord, as we trust you and where we just believe and put our faith in your promises, you just come on the scene and you bring to pass all that you promised. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for it. We thank you for this time that we have here today. Thank you for being able to worship you, still live in a country where we have those freedoms, Lord. And we realize, God, that if something happens and they take that from us, it's because you've got something better for us. We love you, Lord. Pray that you just commit these things into the hearts of your people. Seal it away there that they remember that they have quickening power in you. We love you, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's all stand and just worship for just a moment here as we get ready to go for the 10-minute song. That's what the scriptures declare.
Amen.
That he became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen?
Amen.
How good of a job did he do taking your sin? He did a perfect job. Well, then what's the rest of that scripture? If he did a good job taking our sin, then he's made it to where we can do a good job to be his righteousness, the righteousness of God in him. Amen. And as they were singing that song earlier, you know, rising, he justified me. Amen. Freely forevermore. Brother Brown tells us, you know, justification means it's as just as if you never did it in the first place. And I've shared this with you before, but the scripture said he was raised for our justification. Because if he was still laying in that grave, Satan could still say you're guilty, and he died for you. But whenever he raised out of the grave, there's no evidence. There's no evidence. So Satan can't even say, well, you did it. Well, there's no record, because there's not even someone laying in the grave dead to show that you did. So you're raised for your justification. He's raised for your justification to such a place of forgiveness in your life that there's no record of it. You never sinned in the first place, said a prophet. Amen. The wave sheet that lifted above us above that we could see, he said you never did it in the first place. Right?
Right.
So just imagine in your mind what Christ did. Christ took your sin and he took it into that dimension and he slapped it back onto the back of Satan, and he has to bear it, not you. Amen. So what's your confession? Your confession is agreement that God saved you, took away your sins. Amen. That's why I'm happy, because my sins are gone. Amen. And I hope you are the same. So may the Lord bless you.
Oh.